Hi, welcome to Evangelism Action Media. This is Daniel Chapman. Today's message is from John 4, verses 27 to 42. It was spoken by Fred Van Hulst at the Branch Christian Church in Kings Meadows, Tasmania, Australia. It's about the woman at the well, a story that you may know well from the Way of the Master teaching. This message is about what happened to her when she became an evangelist. She went back to her village and she told everyone about Jesus. The people of that village were so impressed with her testimony that they actually all came out to hear Jesus for themselves. And when they heard Jesus for themselves, they believed.
If I would ask you the question, what is your food? I think that many people would wonder what I would be after. They might interpret that as a question about their favourite food. What do you like most? Or perhaps about their most regular food, bread, or potatoes, or rice, or pasta, or whatever your mum taught you to eat. But no matter how people would interpret my question, what is your food, they all would try to say something about what goes into their mouth to find its way into their stomach, right? And that's why Jesus' comment about his food is so utterly amazing, even mysterious. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me. Jesus' disciples were mystified about his response when they offered him something to eat. I have food to eat you know nothing about. Now, we hope to find out what he means by working through this story. In this Bible chapter, we have heard how Jesus, while travelling through Samaritan country, took a rest at a well while his disciples went into town to buy some food. And while he is there on his own, a woman comes to draw water from the well where Jesus is seated. And he takes the initiative for a talk, and then in no time he is telling her about the living water he has to offer. Living water that is able to satisfy the human soul. And he is talking about the gospel, of course. Now the woman is interested in what he means. And in the course of their talk, he reveals to her that he is the Christ, the promised Messiah who will reconnect the people with their God, with the living God. Now, we do not hear the woman's response to that revelation, "I am he who speaks to you." But her actions that follow show that she does believe him, that he is the Christ indeed. And so she gives up her initial suspicions and entrusts herself to him. And with that, she is the first one to confirm what John wrote earlier in chapter 2, verse 36. Just have a look. Go back to chapter 2, last verse. Chapter 3, last verse of that chapter. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. When the woman believed Jesus' claim that he is the Messiah, she felt straight away that the burden of sin and a fear for condemnation by God and by people was lifted from her conscience. She was free. She had taken one sip of the living water that he offered her, and she knew straight away what it is, what it means to receive eternal life. It's hers. And it made her a totally different woman. in perhaps half an hour of time. Can you believe it? But that is what faith in Jesus Christ does with you. And with eyes blazing of joy over her new life, she looks at Jesus, keen to hear more from him. But apparently, for the moment, his ministry to her is finished now. And so we read in verse 27, just then his disciples returned from town. Imagine them carrying their shopping bags and keen to sit down together for a meal. They can't wait. And then to their amazement, they find Jesus talking with a woman. And their surprise about that matches the woman's earlier surprise, saying to Jesus, "You, a Jew, talk to a Samaritan woman?" And apparently, the disciples share the same prejudice as this woman about Jews and about women and Samaritans. Talking to a woman, to women that was not allowed for a Jew. Now that shows that these disciples haven't even started to understand what makes Jesus tick, so to speak. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to show love for people bound in sin. And that is why he made contact with this woman. Now that his friends are back, the woman realizes that her talk to Jesus has come to an end. So, leaving her water jar, the woman runs back to town. Now, isn't that a fantastic detail? This water jar of the woman left behind at the well. You can almost, as John tells it, you can almost see it laying there. See, this jar had become a symbol of her being bound to an endless repetition of life's chores. Every day she had to carry this jar up and down to the well to provide water for herself and the man she lives with. But now that she has tasted from the living water, her water jar can wait. She feels she has a mission to fulfill. And she wants to share her excitement about what she has found with her fellow townspeople. So, the jar left behind is a silent witness to her new perspective. The once shy woman who used to be embarrassed about her life story goes out in the streets of Sychar, of that little town there. "Come, see a man who told me everything I did." But take note, this woman knew what people thought of her. Her past. She had five husbands. And one by one, she was discarded by them. The woman who was once so embarrassed about her life story doesn't mind to show herself to the people now. "I have met a man who knew all about me and who set me free from all that. Come and see for yourself. Could he be the Christ?" Of course, she knows for herself that he is a Christ, because he himself has told her, and she has believed that, and because of that her life has changed. But she wants that they are going to come and find out for themselves, because that's the only way. You have to find out for yourself whom Jesus is. Now apparently the change in the woman is so obvious that her message has effect. Most of the people of town give up their siesta and follow her to the well. And again, let's be amazed. Look how this woman has jumped ahead of the 12 disciples. They had been with Jesus much longer, but they still wondered whom he was. Could he be the Christ? Or perhaps not. They had already brought a visit to this woman's town. But did they go there to tell them about Jesus? They wouldn't think of it. To Samaritans. Good news for Samaritans, no way. They'd only done some shopping there. That was their business. Now, while we are curious, what happens next? When the Samaritans follow the woman to Jesus, we are kept in suspense for a while. And then we first hear an exchange between Jesus and his disciples. Totally oblivious of what had happened with the woman, they urged Jesus to eat something. Rabbi, eat. You must be very hungry by now. But he replies, I have food to eat you know nothing about. What? I have food to eat you know nothing about. They can't follow him. Could someone have brought him food while they were away? This woman who left? Perhaps? They had no clue about what had happened between Jesus and this woman. Neither did they understand Jesus' mission. See, they knew him as a man, as he was their teacher. And in most ways he was just like them. He needed to eat and to drink and to regularly rest his body, like this day. But do you remember, friends, when Jesus was tempted in the desert, for that he for 40 years was in the desert on his own without food and drink, and he was tempted by the devil, what he responded to the devil when the devil challenged him to make some food for himself because he was so hungry? And he told him, he quoted from Deuteronomy, he said this: a man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, that was originally said in the context of Moses reminding Israel that God himself had provided for their every need just by speaking. All those 40 years in the desert, God had made sure that nobody's clothing wore out, and that their feet didn't swell. There was food every time they needed it, and he provided daily water from a rock that somehow mysteriously travelled with him. And that was a lesson for Israel, to humble themselves and to learn to be dependent on the Lord and to be focused on what he was doing. And Jesus himself puts it in the Sermon on the Mount to the listeners in this way. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things like bread and water, whatever you need, clothing, my Father will provide for it. So if you have a kingdom focus, you don't need to worry about anything for your daily needs. And that's why Jesus didn't worry about obtaining food. He rather continued his mission to seek and to save the lost. He wouldn't think of telling this woman or leaving this woman behind by saying, well, at the moment I'm too tired, I'm too hungry, so I have no energy to fulfill my mission, no way. Was his calling to seek and to save the lost. That's why his Father had sent him. And that is why sharing the gospel with this woman satisfied him more than any food could do. His bread is the bread of life that will satisfy your deepest hunger. And it also applied to Jesus himself in that situation. And so he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now let's just dwell on that for a moment. We all know that food is a necessity of life on earth. We all need food. And yet for us, there's much more to food than only being a necessity. And you realise that straight away when you imagine that it were possible to replace every meal you normally eat, and the little bits and pieces in between. If you could replace it with just one small pill that contains everything that you need to maintain your body, and that would satisfy your hunger, would you be excited about the invention of such a pill? Would save you heaps of shopping and cooking and dishwashing and perhaps money as well. But it would make life boring, wouldn't it? Because we love our food and we all have our favourite food. Now listen to Jesus again. My food, my favourite food that satisfies me most is not bread for the stomach, but rather the word that comes from my Father's mouth. I love to listen to it and to obey it. There is nothing more satisfying to me than doing the will of the one who sent me and finish his work. See, the Father started the work by sending me as the Saviour of the world, and I'm keen to do it and to finish it. To do all I have to do to become the Saviour of the world, even give my life on a cross. Jesus knew about that. I'm keen to finish it, but I want you to be part of my mission. That's what Jesus is saying as well. And so he continues. He said, you are so busy, my friends, my disciples, with the food that you brought, and you think that will satisfy you. But there is something much more exciting happening right now. You just have to open your eyes to see it. You still never look further than what the eye catches. For instance, you see the fields around here that have been sown in only a few weeks ago. And your conclusion by seeing that is, it's not harvest time yet. Another 4 months at least to go. But I want you to have a look again and to see what I see. Look at things with spiritual eyes and keep the harvest in mind. And then you will see that sowing and reaping belong together. You, as my disciples, should learn to rejoice while sowing. Look at the fields. Don't you see lots of people coming from town, our way? That is your harvest coming in. You didn't do any sowing in town because you did not believe a harvest could be sown, could be written in Samaria. But in the meantime, I did the sowing for you. And you can share in the reaping. The harvest is coming in. Look at it. Half of town is making its way towards us. That is the crop for eternal life. These people are open for the gospel of salvation because they have seen what happened to this woman. And you didn't do anything for it. I did something. The woman did something. Others have done the hard work for you. Sowing. But you are part of reaping the benefits of their labor. And yet, don't be sad about this, that you missed out somehow, because I will still include you in it. I want you to be glad with the sowing. There's a saying, one sows and another reaps. And that is a bit of a cynical saying, meaning you seldom see the fruit of your labour. You may plant an oak tree today, but most likely you will never see it in its full-blown glory. But that shouldn't keep you from planting trees. And applied to the gospel, it might well be that you sow seeds of the gospel in someone's life and that you never see it come up. But that shouldn't keep you from doing it. And it should certainly not keep you from already rejoicing in the very fact that you're allowed to sow. Because your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Friends, there is no greater joy, and there is nothing more satisfying than to know that through your service, people have found and will find eternal life. What a contribution to make to someone's life. No other work in the world could ever produce such fruit. You may be dead and buried by the time that the person you witnessed to and prayed for is converted. But don't worry, when you meet that person in heaven, he will tell you one day, "You told me this, and it was the start of my spiritual journey." And then you will rejoice together about what the Lord has been doing in the life of both of you and through you. You will rejoice together in the Lord's saving grace forever. And the beauty of all this is you don't even have to be a prophet or a teacher or a full-time missionary to be involved in it. Just learn from the Lord to look beyond your daily bread and butter and understand that the food we really live on is to fulfill our calling in the world. So again the question, what is your food? And that turns out to be a question about what does give you real satisfaction in life. What do you live for? Is it to be able to fill your stomach and all that comes with it? Or is it working out your personal calling? See, the less you do with your calling, the more empty you will feel about your life. And on the other hand, the more you live it out, the more fulfillment and the more joy and the more satisfaction you will experience. Because then you are part of the great work of the Lord of the harvest. You will go through tough times of sowing without seeing results. But don't quit. Keep rejoicing, for the work is ultimately God's work. Never forget. Salvation is not your business. It is God's business. And sometimes you will see great results that you have never dreamt of. Rejoice also then. But never take any pride in it. Because you are reaping the results of someone else's labor. People put efforts into someone's life and it may come that you may be the one who harvests them for the kingdom. Nothing to take pride in. Something to be thankful for. And to praise the Lord. Now let's come to the conclusion of the story. Now, the testimony of the woman made an enormous impact. Because the people of Sychar, they could see now for themselves that a miracle had taken place in her. And that's why they wanted to see the man who had achieved this. See, that's always the power of a testimony about someone's life. A testimony of a changed life. But then when you come to Jesus and what he had to say to them, then many more people came to faith in him. And they experienced exactly the same liberation as this woman. It all started for them with hearing her testimony about what Jesus had done in her life, about Jesus' power in her life. And that testimony urged them to go and see him. What happened then is, then they heard it for themselves. And that's what they later on say. We no longer believe just because of what you said, they said to the woman. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is really the Savior of the world. We no longer are dependent on what you have said. But that shows that a human testimony is ultimately not sufficient for salvation. That cannot change people. Make them sit up and wonder. But it cannot change their hearts. People have to hear the gospel for themselves from Jesus Christ. Well, I can preach to you the gospel 50 times a year. And I might do that with all the skills that I've developed over the years. But my word will never be able to convince any one of you of the truth. You have to hear Jesus' voice for yourself. And I pray that that day will come for all of you, that you can hear beyond my voice, and that you are touched by the word of God in such a way that you hear the message as from Jesus himself in a very real way. And it's the Holy Spirit who does that. He will make you hear one day, this is about me. The Lord knows me. And he loves me. And he has forgiven me. That's what we call the internal call of the Holy Spirit. And that's your heart responding to Jesus' voice coming alive in the scriptures through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, that experience is more powerful and more convincing than 1,000 sermons. The truth ultimately doesn't come in words that you hear. The truth hits you when you hear it for yourself, when it's revealed to you in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Then you will know beyond any doubt that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Like all the people of Samaria said, we know this man is really the Savior of the world, also of us Samaritans. Make him your Savior, friends. Pray that you may hear from himself, and that you will know for sure Jesus alone as words of eternal life. Take them for your food.